the book of Revelation, and that is the last book of the Bible. Amen. Revelations chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, and then we're going to move over to chapter 3, verse 21. I am reading this morning from the Amplified Version of the Bible. Amen. And again, Revelations 2, 26 and 27, 3, 21, and it is on the screen behind me. And it reads, "And he who overcomes and who obeys my commands to the end, I will give him authority and power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a scepter of iron, as when earthen pots are broken in pieces, and like that which I myself have received from my Father." 3:21 reads, "He who overcomes, I will grant him to sit beside me on my throne, as I myself overcame and sat down beside my Father on his throne." Thus ends the reading of the word.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in his presence. No weapon formed against him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No weapon formed against us prosper. How's your soul right now? I know that's right because we're here. It's just a blessing to be. It's a blessing to be here, and it's a blessing to be. Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. Revelation. I'm using the New King James Version. "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nation. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel." In 3:21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. How many of you are ready to hear this morning? In the times that we're living in, everybody ought to be ready to hear. And not only ready to hear, but ready to apply. Not just be ready to hear, but ready to do what thus says the Lord. I'm going to say it once again. We're living in the end of time. We're living in the last days, the last minute, the last hour. We're living in a time when we see most of the prophecy that had been given to happen before the return of Christ, it has already happened. There are only a couple of things that's left that have to happen before the return of Christ, but there's nothing that's left that has to happen before the rapture of the church. The two are different. Jesus will take his church out of here. There is nothing else, nothing, nothing. Say, look at your neighbor, say, nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing else that has to happen before the church leaves this earth. I want you to understand that. That as I stand here and speak, it could happen. Some of us are waiting for this and waiting for that. Well, this is going to happen before Jesus comes back. That's going to happen. Yeah, a lot of things will happen before Jesus come back, but look, it's 7 years between the rapture of the church and Jesus coming back. See, people try to lump that all into one thing. But the church will be taken out of here before all the terrible things that's spoken of in the 21st chapter of Luke
begin to happen. See, God said that if you look at when I preached from about the church at Philadelphia, God promised them that he was going to take them out of the wrath. He's not going to even allow them to go through it. There will be 7 years of tribulation. And the Bible says it will be like the world has never seen before. And even now we are beginning to see the birth pains. We're beginning to see things happen that have not happened before in places where they had not happened before. There was a 4.7 earthquake and 100 little ones in Nevada. Look at all the flooding in Texas. Look at all the blizzards in Minnesota in April. I mean, things are beginning to happen that causes one to take notice if you're alert. He says, watch and pray. We need to look around. He said, don't sleep. Watch and pray. And see what's getting ready to happen. And see, we keep doing things the same old way. We keep thinking that we just, I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And I'm going to do the same thing I did. Hey, I'm going to work and I'm going to school and I'm going. But there's going to be a surprise for some folks. You may not see tomorrow. None of us may see tomorrow as we know it. And see, we have to live according to the word of God and according to the times that we're in. Does that mean we live in fear? No, we don't live in fear. Not if you know Jesus Christ, if he's in you. You live joyfully. You live rejoicing. I don't know about you. You may not be, but I'd be so glad when he wrapped the church out of here. Because I know I'm going. And the way things are getting now, and they're trying to take God out of everything, they are trying to call right wrong and wrong right. The world wants us to accept everything now. They don't want you to stand up and stand for God and call sin sin, but they want you to call it a mistake. Let me tell you what it is. It's called S-I-N. What does that spell?
Sin.
So there's no mistake. It's a mistake if you don't repent and get your act together. But see, we all think that we're going to just floozy on into heaven. We're going to just tiptoe through the tulips. We're going to just get there on our mother's and father's prayers. No, you're not. Every tub going to stand on his own bottom. When you've heard the word and you haven't acted on the word, guess what? Mom and dad will be gone. You'll be what? Left behind. It's time for us to wake up. It's time for us to get it together. It's time for us to begin to live lives of holiness. Don't anybody like holiness? Everybody like to talk about being I'm prosperous. You know, and we all talk about the, you know, God just loves me too much to do. Let me tell you what, God loves you too much to let you sin and get away with it. That's what he loves you too much for. See, everybody think love is just a pat on the back. Okay, honey. Oh, no. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but there's a thing called tough love. I love you. That's why I ain't going along with your mess. Because the very ones that you let get away with in and everything, they'll turn around and curse you in the end, because see, they're going through hell now, and they'll turn around, if you had told me, if you had let me get through with this, I've heard kids say that to their parents, because their parents thought they were too cute to spank. They just let them get away with whatever they wanted to do. Let them do everything they wanted to do. And then when they ran into a mess, they got older in college and they ran into a mess. Some of them, and most of these things are rich kids. And they get into a mess. Then they turn around and tell them, it's your fault. And then some of them kill them. They'll kill their parents. They don't love you because you let children have their way. They don't love you because of that. Because I remember the time at who? My father said, "It hurts me more than it hurts you." And I'm saying, now, how did he get to that conclusion? I'm looking at that gridlock switch. And I'm looking at that rug that he put down there for me to stand on. And he's standing to me. He got the switch in his hand, and he's telling me, "It's going to hurt me more than it hurts you." I know what he meant. Now I know what he meant. But then I didn't know what he meant because I couldn't understand it. But as I got older, I understood, and I was so glad that he didn't let me get away with everything that I wanted to get away with. That he didn't go along with everything that I wanted to do. Because I messed up enough on my own without him helping me. So at least when I messed up, I could say, "Well, I knew better. I can't blame you because you told me." But I see kids, they turn around. I saw one little girl, she's 13 years old. Her mother tried to tell her, turn around, slapped her in the face. Now they would have been putting me in jail. But this is what the kind of thing that I'm saying that is happening. Kids have no respect for their parents. Parents have no respect for their children. I was in the 7-Eleven this morning. I heard a lady tell me, "If you don't shut up, I will kick you in your so-and-so." I said, "Now that's a nice thing to say to your child on a Sunday morning in 7-Eleven where everybody looking." But I mean, she was just, that's just, she, I guess she meant she was going to do that. But she didn't have to say it that way. But what I'm saying is we are living in a time now that those things which used to be unheard of are now heard of. And not only are they heard of, but they're manifesting themselves. They're coming forth. And so we need to understand from the Word of God that we're living in end times. And see, God is love. It's not he has love for you, but he is love. But if you don't follow his way, you're going to hell. He loves you. He gave his son for you. His son gave his life. But don't think you're going to just smush it in his face. Because he's God. And he hates sin. God can't even look on sin. When he see us through the blood of Jesus. Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because God had turned his back. Because Jesus became sin. And God could look on sin. So there was a separation. That's how much Jesus loved us. That he gave himself. But see, some of us don't seem to understand how much God gave up for us. So when we look at Revelation, and how many of y'all know that Revelation is the end of the book? He says, "And he who overcomes." Now, he wouldn't say that to us if we couldn't overcome. He said, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end." He didn't say overcome and then go backwards. He said, "Keep my works until the end. To him I will give power over the nation." I'm going to talk to you briefly from the subject, destined to reign. He said, "Pastor, I don't know what you just said. How do we get there?" We'll get there. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do give you praise and glory and honor today because you're God all by yourself. You are omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. You are love. And we thank you today for allowing us to come before you, Lord God. We thank you for the desire that you've given us to even assemble ourselves together to hear from you. Now speak to us as only you can speak. Hide your servant, O God. You come forth. Manifest your presence. Bless your people. Let your word go forth. That your people may be edified. That you be glorified. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus promises rulership to the overcomer. If you overcome, and you overcome to the end, Jesus promises rulership to you. Now you may not have no position down here. You may look at yourself as being, I'm just ordinary. I don't have no position. I'm not important, although you are. You're important to him. But he promises rulership. And this is Jesus saying this because the letters are in what color? All right. He said to him who overcomes and keep my works till the end. Keep whose works? His works. What are some of the works of Jesus? What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He preached the gospel. What did he say? I came to set the captives free. That's the works that Jesus wants us to do. To set the captives free. Jesus promised rulership to the overcomers. And I believe that it is for every believer, he intends for us to be an overcomer. Jesus intends for every believer to be an overcomer. There are no people, none of his people are expected to fail. God is not saying, well, I don't expect you, I'm telling you this, but I don't expect you to overcome. I expect you to fail. No. He expects us to overcome. He wants all of us to be victorious. He does not ordain any of us to fail. You are not ordained to fail. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care how many projects you may start and it might not work out. But that's not that you failed as long as you don't give up. As long as you don't quit. You don't fail until you quit. But he hasn't ordained us to fail. We need to get that in our spirit. God didn't ordain me to fail. And I'm not going to be a failure. But I am an overcomer. And an overcomer overcomes. If we fail, it's because we choose to fail. Because he's ordained all of us to be more than conquerors. Tell your neighbor, I'm more than a conqueror. That's what he's ordained us to be, more than conquerors. Now, if you don't want to be more than a conqueror, that's your dumbness. Don't be. If he has ordained us to be a conqueror, a more than conqueror, he's ordained us to be overcomers, then that means nothing should be overcoming you. Why is it then that we live in such defeat? And then in Romans 3:21, he says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. In other words, see, Jesus is not even sitting in his throne yet. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, but he's sitting down in his Father's throne. But how many of y'all know Jesus is going to have a throne? He's the King of Kings. And he's going to come to this earth. He's going to sit on his throne. And he's going to reign and rule. And when he rules, guess what? There is no democracy. You know, in the church, we want a democracy. We want to tell the pastor what to do, the leaders what to do. We want to determine who's going to do this and who's going to do it. There ain't no democracy in God's house. It's a theocracy. The word says it, that settles it. But we want to make a democracy out of it. And some of us want to tell God what to do. Or we want to explain it away. No, the word is the word is the word. And we need to keep his word. We need to keep his word. And another thing, God never intended for us to struggle through life under the bondage of defeat and despair, even though we struggle through it. He said, in this world you'll have tribulation. But did he say, so just go on and struggle? What did he say? He said, be of what? Good cheer, for I have done what? Overcome the world. Yes, you're going to have tribulation. Yes, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have, but he said, be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. He don't want us whining and murmuring and complaining and getting all down. But God wants us, in spite of, in the midst of, through it all, he wants us to understand that we are more than conquerors, that we are overcomers, that there is nothing that can come upon us that's not common to man. You are not the only one. Please get over yourself. You are not the only one. I don't care what happens to you. It has happened to somebody else before. So you're not like Fats Domino. You're not all by yourself. See, we like the pity party. We like to whine and murmur and oh me, oh my. No. I don't care what happens to you. I don't care how tough it gets. You are of a royal priesthood. You are princesses and priests. You are royalty. That's how you're going to be able to sit in his throne with him and reign and rule. But see, the thing about it is that so many of us, all we want to do is get down in our, we get some problems. And man, do we love it. We just love the problem. We don't want to see the way out. We don't want to focus on the good part. All we want to focus on is me, my, and oh my. And I, oh Lord, help me. And help yourself. The Bible said, what happened to David when he was